Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Stam Stapitam Jena Hutale Sayam Pakadamayam Vati Sakya Panchakopitivyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhai Vacha Patitinam Prabhanevo Vajrayam Hama. Who remembers what we concluded with yesterday? The devastating rains had fallen, and Krishna lifted up the hill. Come in. Krishna lifted up Govardhan Hill, and the rain was coming down. Such a heavy way. And there Krishna was, having lifted there. Now, I want to read something from the Bhagavad Gita. At the end of the sixth chapter, after describing yoga, Astanga yoga, Krishna said, Sharavan Vajateyo Mamsame Yuttatamo Mataha. That the highest of yogis, practically the one in a class by himself, that's one who with great faith meditates on me, focuses his consciousness on me. And then he describes, in the beginning of the seventh chapter, how to practice Krishna consciousness, or focusing one's consciousness on Krishna, and thereby knowing him fully. We'll go through the entire seventh chapter here. And he wants, Krishna says, I'll describe to you this knowledge, both phenomenal and noumenal, spiritual and material, material and spiritual. And if you know this, there's nothing further to be known. And there are out of thousands of people, one will even think about knowing the absolute truth, that which remains further to, nothing further to be known. And out of those, barely one can actually achieve this. And then Krishna begins to describe the material energies, beginning Bhumi, Rapona, Vayu, earth, water, fire, air. These are his material energies, and they are Bina Prakriti. They are separated from him, his external energy. So all the earth, all the water, all the fire, the air we cannot see, but we perceive it through touch. All this, what to speak of our minds, which is all expansive, practically speaking, this is all Krishna's material energy. But aside from this, there's a spiritual energy, and together, the material energy, the spiritual energy within the covering of the material energy, they are making their attempt to exploit the entire universe. Practically, they're maintaining the entire universe. And of all this, the material and the spiritual in this world, Krishna says, it is me. I am the source of this, and I cause the pralaya, the devastation of it as well. Because then Krishna says, Mata Prataram Nanyat. There's no truth superior to me. And Sutre Manigana Yiva. Everything rests on me, like pearls are strung on a thread, sutra. And then Krishna describes in several verses how he is the essence of everything, such as the fragrance of the earth, the penance of ascetics, the seed-giving father, the prowess, that which makes, when we see someone who's powerful, we say, oh, he's very powerful. But it is Krishna, his potency, that gives that person his power. It is Krishna's potency that makes someone strong. And true potency. So everything, goodness, passion, ignorance, they come from Krishna. And he is not under the control of this. And deluded by these three modes of material nature, Chibir, Gunamaya, Bhavaya. No one knows Krishna, who is above the modes, the creator of the modes, that which controls everything in this world. Krishna is above that. And he is avyayam, he is inexhaustible. Mam evya param avyayam. There is no end to Krishna's power. And if one tries to get out of these material modes on his own, you can't. It's the prison, the durga, the fort of the material world. One cannot. But if one, mamevate papadyante, mayametan twantite, if one surrenders to Krishna, then he can actually get out. And there are four kinds of people who never surrender to Krishna. And they are called duskritina, they have no piety. And then there are four kinds, sukritinas, who do surrender to Krishna. And the one, out of the one seeking, the one in distress, the one seeking wealth, the one curious, and the one in knowledge, the one who is in knowledge is the best. And all of them are magnanimous, great souls. But the one with knowledge is the best. And one who has knowledge, knowledge means to know the difference between the soul and the body, and the higher knowledge is to know that Krishna is the source of everything, the spiritual and the material, as Krishna said. And for one, through the path of knowledge, to come to the platform of knowing Krishna, who is the ultimate conclusion of knowledge, he is the best of all. But such a great soul is very rare. And there are other kinds of souls in this world who don't surrender to Krishna, who don't realize Krishna. They surrender unto devas and demigods, trying to get some powers and try to get their desires fulfilled. And it is Krishna, however, who situated everyone's heart, that gives someone the strength to, and the faith to approach the demigods to get their desires fulfilled. It is Krishna. Everything is dependent on Krishna. Even those who are not surrendered to Krishna are dependent on Krishna. So, based on that faith that Krishna has given them, they surrender to the demigods and get their results. But the benefits are ultimately that they have gotten are ultimately bestowed by Krishna alone. So it's only foolish people, people with small intelligence who worship the demigods. Alpa means little. Alpa medasa means people of little intelligence. They worship. Notice I was pointing naturally to me. This is natural. They worship the demigods. And they go to the demigods. They get temporary results. But ultimately, the devotees who worship Krishna, they achieve the supreme abode. Krishna says in the 25th verse, I am never manifest to those who are foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered, they cannot see me. I am covered by my yogamaya, samavrita. And they do not know Krishna's position, who is unborn, infallible, perfect, the source of everything. O conqueror foe, all living entities are born into delusion, icha dvesha, in maya. And what bewilders us? Duality. This is good, this is bad. I'm running towards the good, I'm pushing away the bad. And we spend our whole lives deluded in this way. On the other hand, persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and who have no sinful reactions, they engage in themselves in my service, dridha vrata, with great determination. So then Krishna begins to conclude this chapter by saying, intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death, they take refuge in me, in devotional service. They take shelter of Krishna in devotional service, and they actually become fully spiritual because they know everything about spiritual activities. They're fully engaged, they're transcendental. And those who are in full consciousness of Krishna, their consciousness is fully absorbed in Krishna, who know Krishna, the Supreme Lord, as the governing principle of all material manifestations. He is what makes the material manifestations work of all the demigods, of all the methods of sacrifice. They know Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even at the time of death, they can focus their mind on Krishna if they know Krishna so deeply. So in the middle, not in the middle, but knowing, well, this type of instruction, which is so important, which reveals Krishna as Sutre Maniganaiva Mata Pratanam Na Anyat, that there is nothing superior to him, there is nothing other than him, and everything is resting on him. This all-powerful person, at the moment that we're reading about in the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, what is he doing? With some of his power, he's holding up a hill and calling his dearest devotees, the residents of Vrindavan, his friends, the cows, his servants, the cowherd boys, his mothers and fathers and the gopis, and everyone, come take shelter under this hill. Because he's had three reasons why he's performing this pastime. Because what is in a person, the Supreme Person who Krishna is, he's describing himself in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, what is he like? What is he like to do? What is his nature? What is in his mind? So here in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, that is what's revealed. First, he wants to bring down the mountain-like pride of Indra, because Indra is a devotee. And that is getting in the way of his devotional service, his advance in Krishna consciousness. And also, he's establishing this Kovanan puja ceremony so that the devotees for thousands and thousands and thousands of years to come all over the world can perform this joyous ceremony, Govanan Puja, and remember Krishna, and remember this pastime, and remember how happy Krishna is, this all-powerful Supreme Person, how happy he is performing his pastimes in Vrindavan. And the third reason is that he wants to enjoy his pastimes. He wants to be under the hill with all the residents of Vrindavan, all there, so they can exchange pastimes, so that they can look at each other, so they can be together. Because it is natural to want to be with those one loves. And Krishna, above all, atma pajanta vajanyata bhakta vatsalya atma pajanta vajanyata, his highest quality, his most dear and cherished internal quality, that he is the lover of his devotees, even to the degree that he gives himself completely, this all-powerful person, who the material energy, the spiritual energy rests within him, he gives himself to his devotees. He gives himself to his devotees. So let's join this person in this under the shelter of Govanan Hill. We won't physically join him right now, but we'll spiritually join him by hearing about what happens. So having said this, Because Krishna has taken a vow, there were very good instructions, that I must protect the coward community. They're fully surrendered to me, they're fully devoted to me. Indra is trying with all his power to kill everyone, the demigods. I must protect them. I have taken a vow to protect my devotees. So Krishna, who is Vishnu himself, picked up Govardhan Hill with one hand and held it aloft just as easily as a child holds up a mushroom. And we read yesterday how the clouds, his Krishna's energy, internal energy, made the rain, held off the rain so Krishna could run from his veranda of his house to Govardhan Hill without even getting his turban wet. Because everything Krishna does is so with style. He does everything in such a wonderful way. The Lord then addressed the coward community. O mother, O father, O residents of Braja. So he's holding up the hill. If you wish, you may now come under this hill with your cows. Here's the purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur provides the following insights in this regard. Ordinarily, a large cowherd community, which included many thousands of cows, calves, bulls, and so on, could not fit under the base of a medium-sized hill like Govardhan. However, because the hill was in ecstasy, being touched by the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it acquired inconceivable power and even felt the hundreds of deadly thunderbolts thrown upon its back by angry Indra to be offerings of soft, fragrant flowers. Touched by Krishna, Govardhan Hill was in ecstasy. At times, Sri Govardhan was not even aware that the thunderbolts were striking. From the Harivamsa, the Acharya Vishwanath has also quoted Sri Krishna himself as saying, Trilokyamapyutsahate rakshitam kimpurna vrajam. Sri Govardhan can give shelter to all the three worlds. What to speak of the simple land of Braja. When Indra's attack began and Krishna lifted the hill, the deer, the wild hogs, and other animals and birds standing on the hill's flanks climbed up to its peaks, and even they did not experience even the slightest distress because they also were taking shelter of Govardhan. And Krishna's chakra was making sure that no water was drying up all the water. So although so much rain was coming that it could have devastated the universe practically, or the earth, still the land of Braja was not completely overflooded. So Krishna continues. You should have no fear, because Krishna's holding up a big mountain with his left hand. You should have no fear that the mountain will fall from my hand, because he's asking all the residents of Vrindavan to come beneath it. And don't be afraid of the wind and rain, for your deliverance from these afflictions has already been arranged. So Krishna assured the residents of Vrindavan of his protection. And what was the qualification of the residents of Vrindavan for being residents of Vrindavan? They weren't necessarily great scholars or this or that. Their only qualification is they knew nothing but Krishna. They had taken and accepted full shelter of Krishna. Their minds thus pacified by Lord Krishna, they all entered beneath the hill, where they found ample room for themselves and all their cows, wagons, servants, and priests, and for all other members of the community as well. So even all the animals came under Govardhan. Everyone, no one was excluded, practically speaking. Lord Krishna, forgetting hunger and thirst, and putting aside all considerations of personal pleasure, he stood there holding up the hill for 7 days as the people of Braja gazed upon him. Now here there's a comment here, the purport here. This quotation from Vishnu Purana. Vajaikavashibhirsa vismitaksanariksita Gopa gopi janarhista piti bishparitekshanai samstuyamana charita krishna sainam adarayat. Lord Krishna held up the mountain while his praise was chanted by the residents of Braja. Does Krishna need to have his glories being sung? No. But the love that the residents of Vrindavan sang to Krishna, sang about Krishna, captivated Krishna's own heart. Because Krishna is Bhaktivatsala, he's the lover of his beloved devotees. And all of them, all the residents of Braja, all of whom had the opportunity to dwell together with him and who glanced at him with joyful and amazed eyes, they could look at him the entire time. Even the gopis, who out of shyness and out of their parents being present, they could never look at Krishna with wide open eyes, look at his beauty. But at this time, even they were allowed to do that. Out of loving affection, they opened their eyes wide. By continuously drinking the nectar of the beauty and sweetness of Sri Krishna, and remember that Krishna is unlimitedly beautiful and unlimitedly sweet. By drinking that nectar, the residents of Vrindavan felt no hunger, thirst, or fatigue. And Lord Krishna, by seeing their beautiful forms, also forgot about eating, drinking, and sleeping. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that 7 days of continuous rain from the Samvartaka clouds failed to flood the district of Mathura, because the Supreme Lord, simply by his potency, immediately dried up the water as it fell to the ground. Thus Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill is full of fascinating details and has for thousands of years remained one of his most famous pastimes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, can I read more of his comment? Comments were included. When Indra observed this exhibition of Lord Krishna's mystic power, he became most astonished. He was pulled down from his platform of false pride, and his intentions thwarted, he ordered his clouds to desist. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments here. The Brijbasis, short comment. His pride deflated. Indra withdrew the clouds out of fear that Krishna would punish him. Now he understood that Krishna was superior. 25. Seeing the fierce wind and rain had now ceased, the sky had become clear of rain clouds and the sun had risen, Lord Krishna, the lifter of Govardhan Hill, spoke to the coward community as follows. Krishna said, "My dear coward men, please go out with your wives, children, and possessions. Give up your fear. The wind and rain have stopped, and the river's high waters have subsided." And after collecting their respective cows and loading their paraphernalia into their wagons, the coward men went out. The women, children, and elderly persons gradually followed them. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. After loading their goods on their carts, the coward men emerged from under the mountain. Oh, that's all short comment. While all living creatures looked on, the Supreme Personality of Godhead put the hill in its original place, just as it had stood before. All the residents of Vrindavan were overwhelmed with ecstatic love, because they had just been staring at Krishna for a whole week, and his beauty and sweetness and his strength and his sweet way of dealing was so captivating, rather than becoming bored in any way and thinking, now I should look at something else, their minds were more and more filled with love. This is the natural ability of spiritual to simultaneously satisfy us, of Krishna consciousness, to simultaneously satisfy us that we don't desire anything other than this, but still be hankering for more and more and more and more and more. Be fully satisfied on one level, and on another level, continuously hankering only for more and more of this specific spiritual thing. Well, on the other hand, something material, it gives you so much pleasure in the beginning, but if you keep on trying to taste and squeeze more pleasure out of that object, the combination of the senses and the sense objects, what happens? It becomes very, very distasteful. Yehi samsparjaja bhoga dukayona yevite. To combine the sense indriyas indriyasyate raga dvesha vyavastita. So therefore we are recommended to not try to get our happiness on that level, because we'll only end up with a bad taste, whatever it is, whatever it is. If you like something, well then try liking it for 24 hours a day continuously on the material level, and you'll hate it. So all the residents of Vrindavan were overwhelmed with ecstatic love, and they came forward and greeted Sri Krishna according to their individual relationships with him. Some were embracing him, others were bowing down to him, and so forth. The cowherd women presented water mixed with yogurt and unbroken barley corns as a token of honor, and they showered auspicious benedictions upon him. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that each of the residents of Vrindavan regarded Krishna in his own way, as an inferior, younger member of the community, as an equal, or as a superior, and they dealt with him accordingly. Krishna's superiors offered auspicious benedictions. They lovingly smelled his head, they kissed him, they rubbed his arms and fingers, they thought his hands must be so tired from holding up the hill for 7 days, the whole hill for 7 days. Krishna is so strong that his arm must be sore by now. So they massage his hands, they massage his feet, and so on. The word cha in this verse indicates that the wives of the Brahmins, they were also there, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, because they were in the village when the sacrifice was being performed. They joined with the cowherd ladies to offer auspicious items like yogurt and unbroken grains. Lord Krishna received benedictions such as this: may you subdue the wicked, may you protect the decent people, and give pleasure to your parents, and may you be enriched with all wealth and opulence. He is the Supreme Lord, but out of the loving affection, the residents of Vrindavan are calling benedictions and blessings upon him. It is out of love only. 30. Mother Yasoda, Mother Rohini, Nanda Maharaj, Balaram, the greatest of the strong, all embraced Krishna, overwhelmed with affection, and they offered him their blessings, because they were in the superior position. Yes, the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment here. The very special position of Krishna's own mother and other intimate relatives is stated in this verse, beginning with Yashoda. Yashoda Rohini Nando Ramascha Balinambara Krishna Malingya Yayo Yodur Ashisha Snehakartara. It is not unsuitable to include Balaram in this group that feels parental affection, Vatsalya Bhav, towards Krishna, because Balaram acts in that capacity as Krishna's elder brother. The elder brother feels parental love also for the younger brother or sister. Protective. One may object, saying, Since Balaram is so affectionate, why didn't he assume its plenary expansion of Anantashesha, since he is already holding up the earth and himself enacts the great feat of holding up Govardhan Hill on behalf of his younger brother? The answer is that once Krishna made his decision to stop Indra's sacrifice, to worship Govardhan, and to lift Govardhan Hill in order to protect the Brijbasis, it would be improper and impossible for his plenary portion, his amsa, Balaram, to do anything else. Thus Balaram did not show his powers. As Krishna is the Shaktiman, the possessor of innumerable potencies, by his desire alone suitable powers will appear when necessary in his amsas, in his parts. In succeeding verses also, this conclusion is mentioned. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur continues. In this regard, sometimes ancient paintings show Krishna as Giridhari. Krishna is the one holding Govardhan Hill. He's being given butter by his two mothers, Yasoda and Rohini, while Nandamaraj and Balaram hold up Govardhan Hill with their heads or sticks. Now, it's like asking the question. Sometimes we see a painting or a picture, and we think, oh, is this bona fide? So now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura is answering that question. If you see a picture of Krishna being fed butter and yogurt, and Nanda Maharaj and Balaram are holding up the hill with their heads or sticks, is this bona fide or not? And his answer is, in the Vaishnava Toshini, which is Sanatana Goswami's commentary on the 10th canto, Srila Sanatana Goswami says that this occurred due to being overwhelmed by love. Thus in this verse they are described as being beside themselves out of their affection for Krishna. So overwhelmed by love, the Brijbasis did amazing things and left the hill to Balaram to hold, and Nanda Maharaj, of course, with his sticks. Sometimes you see that picture is quite common when you see the cowherd men and all the cowherd boys, out of their love, they're putting their sticks up to the hill to help Krishna because they're afraid that it might become too much for him. They're overwhelmed by love and they do these things. Text 31. In the heavens, O king, because Maharaj Prakrit is hearing this, all the demigods, including the Siddhas, Sadhyas, Gandharvas, and Charanas, they sang the praise of Lord Krishna and they showered down flowers in great satisfaction. They were as jubilant as the residents of Vrindavan. And so there was a great universal festival going on. My dear Prakrit, the demigods in heaven resoundedly played their conch shells and kettle drums, and the best of the Gandharvas, led by Tumbaru, began to sing. Surrounded by his loving cowherd boyfriends and Lord Balaram, Krishna then went to the place where he had been tending his cows. The cowherd girls returned to their homes, singing joyfully about the lifting of Govardhan Hill and other glorious deeds performed by Lord Krishna, who had so deeply touched their hearts. There's a purport here. Before returning to their homes, the gopis shared intimate association with their lover Sri Krishna by exchanging secret glances under the hill. Ordinarily, this was the young gopis. They could not publicly talk about Krishna since they were chaste young girls in a religious village. But now they took advantage of this wonderful exhibition by the Lord and they freely, openly sang of His wonderful qualities, His beautiful qualities and pastimes, because everyone was just amazed and talking about Krishna. Everyone had been staring at Krishna. Everyone in the village was talking about Krishna. So the gopis took full advantage of this, and in public they were finally allowed to speak about how wonderful Krishna was. It is natural that a young man wants to do something wonderful in the presence of a beautiful young girl. The gopis were the most beautiful and pure-hearted young girls, and Sri Krishna performed the most wonderful activities in their presence. Thus he entered deep within their tender hearts, enlivening their eternal devotion to him. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says. While Krishna was lifting Govardhan Hill, Radha and other beloved gopis, unnoticed by others, were intimately associating him by exchanging secret glances from a distance. While returning to their homes, the gopis lovingly sang about Krishna's pastimes. It should be understood that the gopis had the ability to immediately compose songs about Krishna's pastimes. Gopika Riddhi Sprisha can mean the gopis who touched Krishna in their prem-filled hearts or who always meditated on Krishna. Or it can mean that some very dear gopis whom Krishna embraced to his chest or in his mind. The phrase describes the quality of Krishna. Now, that ends the pastime of Krishna's lifting Govardhan Hill. But if you notice, there was just one or two verses that describe the whole 7 days that Krishna held up the hill. But so many wonderful things happened for 7 days because Krishna was there. So I would like to read in Kavi Kanipur, and also other great acharyas have described in more detail what was going on. They've expanded upon this, what was going on under the hill. So I'd like to read some of that, not all of that, but some. So first, when Krishna lifted the hill, and Kavi Kanipur expands on this a little bit. So just because we think about it, he just lifted the hill, but it was a mountain rooted and attached in the ground. So when Krishna did this, many loud sounds echoed in all directions when the mountain rose into the air. A mountain, the little boy was underneath, and the mountain rose into the air. The echoes sounded like a bunch of rowdy children yelling within its many caves. The lifting of Govardhan Hill produced an angry, loud noise that crushed the pride of the elephants guarding the eight directions. That furious sound roamed about around and around within the coverings of the universe. The flowers falling from the trees as Krishna lifted the hill appeared to be the form of Giriraj's ecstatic laughter due to being touched by Krishna's lotus hand. Those falling flowers seemed to be Giriraj celebrating the destruction of Indra's fame, growing higher and higher as Krishna was lifting it. The sharp peaks of Giriraj cut the ominous clouds covering to pieces. The row of trees along the peak of Giriraj challenged the trees in Indra's heavenly forest. The lions living on top of Govardhan Hill mistook the hovering clouds for elephants, and using their powerful sharp claws, they ripped apart that cluster of elephant clouds. In fear, the clouds ran hither and thither. Seeing Krishna holding Giriraj aloft with his left hand, Mount Kailash shivered in fright while thinking, "Look, what is this covering the sky? How could this happen?" Mount Sumeru panicked. And overwhelmed by fear, the elephants of the directions jumped in the Manasi Ganga. Giriraj served Gokul as a jewel-bedecked umbrella that could not be moved by the fierce winds or pierced by the razor-sharp lightning bolts of Indra. Balanced on the beautiful pole of Krishna's raised arm, Giriraj cast a pleasing radiance on everyone. The glimmering rain shower coming down on all sides appeared like streams of dripping pearls. While holding Giriraj in one hand, Krishna, whose wonderful behavior illuminates the world, spoke convincingly to the coward community, "Oh, mother, do not be in anxiety. Father, do not worry. Oh, friends, do not doubt my ability. Giriraj will not fall from my hand. You directly saw how he personally accepted our worship because Giriraj had assumed a huge form and ate all the offerings and had thousands of hands, millions of hands, taking offerings from everywhere. And everyone was led by Krishna and offering obeisances. So Krishna said, "We saw how powerful he is, so don't fear." It is then difficult for him to... Is it then difficult for him to remain suspended in the sky? We saw his power. Although Giriraj appears to be a huge immovable mountain, he is transcendentally situated beyond the doubts and comprehension of this material world. Look how light he is. Even a child like me can easily pick him up. Oh, just see. Giriraj is completely independent and moving according to his own sweet will. In this matter, I am just but an instrument. I'm not lifting Govardhan Hill. Giriraj is doing everything. Therefore, you should collect all your property and come under this mountain. There is no difference between the village of Vrindavan and this valley below Giriraj. Be happy and stay here peacefully. At the end of the kalpa, everyone in creation gives up their gross bodies and lives within the abdomen of Narayan in their subtle bodies. Staying there, however, you could not enjoy as much fun as you can by living here within the belly of Giriraj. When I lifted the hill, huge chunks of earth fell off the bottom and formed a natural boundary wall around the perimeter of Giriraj. This wall will keep out all the torrents of rain. Forget about your pleasure gardens and your attachments to your former residences. Let this place become the source of joyful pastimes for the cows, gopas, and gopis. The string of Govardhana Dhari of Krishna's, the holder of Govardhan Hill, his reassuring words resembled an elegant necklace made from the nectar of his voice. Immediately, the elderly gopas felt completely pacified by Krishna's sweet words, and taking their wealth, their sons, their wives, their cows, and their priests, who felt immeasurable happiness and who beamed with matchless beauty, they entered the splendid valley beneath Giriraj Govardhan. Taking shelter there, they all filled with surprise, and they smiled with great delight. They clearly saw that the valley beneath Govardhan was dazzled attractively in the light, could easily accommodate all their innumerable cows, their animals, and family members. Nanda Maharaj alone had 600,000 cows, and everyone fit under the hill. The valley brimmed with gratifying sense objects to see, to touch, to taste, and so on. That divine place was the very ornament of this earth. Its purity and opulence exceeded the wealth of the subterranean heavenly planets like Sutal. Fields of rich green barley spread in all directions, and many lakes full of crystal clear water stood here and there. The cows stayed near the border of the improvised town and pastured on fields full of fresh green grass. The Brijbasis stood around peacefully in different groups. Some cowherd men then mixed with the Brahmins, and the elderly married ladies stayed with their daughters. Radhika and other prominent young married gopis gathered beside them. Krishna's intimate friends like Batu remained by his side, and Nanda, Yasoda, and Balaram stood slightly in front of Krishna. Thus, the venerable, worshipable Brijbasis relished great joy associating intimately with Krishna. They no longer felt any fear and no longer felt any discomfort from Indra's deluge, which threatened to destroy the whole world. The rain falling from the roaring clouds sounded like water pouring from the mouths of many large water pots. Although situated in different directions, all the Brijbasis gazed to their heart's content at the gorgeous lotus face of Giridhari, the lifter of Govardhan Hill. Each devotee saw that Krishna was looking directly at him. And feeling relieved, the illustrious Brahmins offered abundant blessings to the blissful younger brother of Balaram. Krishna descended on earth to perform his transcendental pastimes and to crush the pride of the demons and the demigods.
While holding up Govardhan Hill, Krishna was surrounded by all his loving associates. And taking advantage of the intimate setting, they gazed at Krishna with joyful faces. They prayed for his victory, or affectionately smelled his head. Being saturated with parental affection, Mother Rohini firmly embraced her son Balaram, who always gives immense pleasure to his parents. To lighten the heart of his beloved friend, Krishna, Bhattu Madhu Mangal said, "O dear most friend of the whole world, please listen to my words. By my Brahman Tejas, my spiritual potency, I will fill you with happiness. When I am here as your friend, why are you troubling yourself by lifting Giriraj? O lotus-eyed one, just order me and I will hold up this great mountain on the tip of my golden stick. You must be exhausted from holding the hill, so now relax, take some rest while I hold the hill." Brajeshwari Yashoda then addressed her son, "Oh, my darling child, you always act impudently due to the force of your uncontrolled senses. For years we peacefully observed the injured jagya, but then you abruptly stopped it. Disregarding the demigods never brings auspiciousness. How can one find fortune if he shows enmity towards the demons or the demigods? In the presence of these two fears, how can we enjoy living here?" Although Krishna's body is inexhaustible and ever blissful, Yashoda thought that he had overworked himself. Considering that, she expressed her motherly affection by reaching up to lovingly touch his lotus hand that held the hill. While doing that, she said, "How can your hand, which is as pure and as soft as fresh butter, bear the heavy weight of this mountain without any help or any other support? Oh, Giriraj, please be compassionate, and please give me a boon. If you are actually some worshipable god, then do something to become soft and lightweight so that Krishna will not feel any distress. Oh, Honorable One, all my son's actions are in accordance with the instructions of Shastra and saintly persons. So bless him in this way." Madhu Mangal said, "Mother, do not speak like this. How can you say Krishna is in distress? Listen, what good has that angry Indra done for us? He brutally attacked us with dense dark clouds and fierce lightning bolts. Now just appreciate the dazzling sweetness that Krishna has manifested in his pastime of lifting Giriraj Govardhan. Had Indra not become angry, then we would not have had the chance to relish this nectar through our eyes." Mother Yashoda replied to Bhattu, to Madhu Mangal, "O bold one, holding a heavy load over the head can never be a show of sweetness. Lifting the enormous weight of Giriraj will cause one to become distressed and disabled. Just see, the locks of curly hair on Krishna's forehead are wet from his perspiration. His face is dried out and has become pale like a lotus wilted by snow. His hands and feet have a reddish color. How can a mother's heart tolerate seeing such hardship?" Krishna said, "Mother, there cannot be anything more fun than this. Why are you worried about me for nothing? Just see, the great mountain of Govardhan is floating on its own in the open sky. I told you before that this body of mine is but an instrument of his will." Yashoda replied, "My dear son, that may be true, but how can you not be tired after standing there for so long and holding that mountain with your raised arm? Oh, intelligent one, I will believe what you said if Govardhan gives up the joyful association of your lotus hand and then flies around the sky playing on his own." Bhattu said, "O Queen of Vrindavan, don't you know that this great mountain is sitting on the lotus hand of Krishna by the strength of my mantras and my special powers? Therefore, my friend is not feeling any pain from holding Giriraj. This is natural because everyone is favorably disposed towards the Lord of their hearts, towards Krishna. Yasoda said, "O impudent one, what kind of nonsense are you speaking? I am burning in anxiety over my son. His tendency is to act independently without caring for any good instruction. And now you come here, make jokes and laugh about it." Nanda Maharaj interjected, "Why are you scolding Batu? In this world, a person who is expert in diplomacy will use very affectionate words to encourage one in such a difficult situation." So understanding the need of the time, Batu spoke appropriately. Beside that, our dear son very much appreciates the words of Batu. Meanwhile, the rest of the Brijbasi stood around Giridhari, around Krishna. They admired the sweetness of his gorgeous, transcendental form, so beautiful. And due to their affection for Krishna, the sinless Brijbasis transgressed ordinary etiquette and they talked loudly amongst themselves about his extraordinary beauty. So everyone was just talking about how beautiful Krishna was right in front of him, and loudly too. So there's many, many descriptions of what all, especially the gopis, what they said, and others too. But we'll go on about the beauty of Krishna, but we'll go on. As everyone was talking, just like a cow hankering to see her calf, Yasoda stepped forward and spoke affectionately to her son. "Oh, beloved one, the day has moved along and you appear afflicted and lacklustered from not eating. Your belly has caved in and your jeweled belt has slipped off. Seeing that your lotus face has withered from fasting, the cows refuse to eat anything or move an inch from here, even though nearby there are fields rich with grains. Therefore, I appeal to you because you are very compassionate. Please stop playing artistically on your flute." Because Krishna stopped, he started playing on his flute in the midst of it. He was holding the hill with one hand and playing on his flute with his other hand. "Please stop playing on your flute and drop your arms so I can feed you with my hand. One whose actions are exemplary will adjust his behavior according to the conditions. I have brought you some warm, soft cakes and some tasty, creamy yogurt with thick skin on top. Now take these delicious items along with Rama and your friends." Batu said, "Oh, my dear friend, your mother has spoken correctly. You should never go against her. Moreover, I am also upset by hunger." Krishna, the crest jewel of relish, said, "Oh, mother, I do not feel like a single moment has passed. Yet why do others think that this short time to be so long? But since one should not disobey his superiors, I think it is proper for me to gladly eat from your hand." Meanwhile, holding a brilliant flash lightning bolt in his hand, Indra sped through the sky on his elephant carrier. While all this happiness was going on underneath the hill, transcendental experience, Indra came by on his elephant with a lightning bolt. Though sitting on his elephant carrier Aravata, Indra actually rode upon the chariot of his anger. And showing his unflinching affection towards the rain clouds, Indra cracked the sky and made everyone cry with a simultaneous thundering sound. So this was going on, and Indra was so angry still. And hissing like an angry snake, Indra raced to Vrindavan to survey the situation. Since he had already sent the Samvartaka cloud a few days before, he assumed Vrindavan must now be totally demolished. And astonishment seized Indra's mind upon seeing the dense peak of Govardhan piercing the huge Samvartaka clouds and soaring above them. The deer, birds, and other living entities of Vrindavan wandered about happily, unaffected by Indra's torrents of grain. Clusters of white clouds completely covered the base of Govardhan. These clouds enhanced the beauty of Giriraj as they washed the mountain with their rains of devastation. Giriraj looked like a huge umbrella, and the clouds seemed like a decorative fringe of pearls ornamenting that umbrella. And while observing this, Indra, thinking himself the supreme controller, decide to exhibit the limit of his anger. Cool-hearted Indra disrespected both the cows and the Lord. In order to destroy the land of cows, he instigated the cows of devastation to thunder menacingly and pour incessant rain on Vrindavan. Out of fear, the clouds dutifully followed the directions of Indra. With the mood of a determined fighter, the furious storm tried to blow away Giriraj with severe high winds. And Sri Hari, Krishna, his effulgent jewel-like body washed by the moonlight of his smile, instantly removed whatever hardship Giriraj felt from the lightning bolts, the heavy hailstones, the profuse rains, and the high piercing winds. And by seeing Krishna's effulgence and feeling the sweet breath from his lustrous lotus face, Giriraj felt totally relieved while relishing the exciting adventures of the Lord. Outside the shelter of the hill, the fearsome thunderbolts crisscrossed the sky. They looked like creepers of light dangling in the air. Ominous dark clouds loaded with rain flashed with occasional rainbows. Beneath Giriraj, the cloud-like Mukunda himself and the steady streaks of lightning gopis created another type of storm. The rainbow appeared as the peacock's feathers on Krishna's crown, and the stream of Krishna's beauty flowed like the constant rain. The only difference was that underneath the mountain, Krishna's brilliant Kastubha gem served as the effulgent sun. And then, Krishna, to completely remove the Brijbasi's anxiety about his fatigue, about his tiredness from lifting Giriraj, Krishna played sweetly again on his murli upon his flute. Hearing that ambrosial sound, one Brijbasi said, "Look, look, a blue lotus hangs over Krishna's left ear. The pleasing vibration of his blissful flute spreads in all directions. In this joyful pastime, his creeper-like right eyebrow raises slightly as if saying, 'What can you say about my left hand which is effortlessly holding up Giriraj?' Thus glittering with excellence, the all-attractive Giridhari displays his sweet power." By the mercy of Govardhan Hill, the Brijbasis did not feel the least bit disturbed. Rather, they tasted endless happiness, passing their time absorbed in loving thoughts of Krishna. So all the gopis, especially Srimati Radharani, felt great love for Krishna under the hill. The cowherd boys were enjoying like anything. They were laughing and making jokes. But Mother Yasoda and others were overcome with parental affection. They felt very sad to see Krishna in this way. And to please her son, Yasoda tried to offer him some tumbul made of cardamom, nutmeg, cloves, lime paste, katichu, and betel nut. And wrapped in a dark green pan leaf, this expertly made tambula had the power to aid digestion, remove anxiety, and fill one with pleasure. And holding it in her lotus palm, Yasoda tenderly offered it to Krishna while pleading, "Oh, my darling Damodar, please stop playing your melodious murli. The sound of the flute cannot fill your stomach. Please take this and remove my anxiety. Why are you disturbing my mind by not eating? Now eat this wonderful tambul, which will enchant your mind. If you do not want it, then at least eat something that you like very much. You have passed many days without eating, so do not delay anymore. If you're waiting for the rain to stop, then please consider that your brother Balaram is very much afflicted by hunger. Since you will do anything for your brother, please honor my request and accept this tambula." After saying this, Yasoda called, "Subal, you are overflowing with love for Krishna. Since you are also the dear object of his affection, will you please offer this tambula to him?" Saying this, Yasoda put the tambula in Subal's hand. Krishna's dear friend Subal felt boundless joy as he held the tambul in one hand and removed Krishna's flute with the other hand. And taking the edge of his cloth, he gently cleansed Krishna's lotus face, which was adorned with agaru and slightly reddish in hue. Seeing Krishna's lips turn red from chewing the tambul offered by Subal, Yasoda smiled in happiness. Outside the umbrella of Giriraj, the huge cloud formation sent by furious Indra poured incessant rain and blew fierce hurricane winds, yet not even one particle of dust washed off the surface of Giriraj. The deer, birds, animals, and even the leaves on the trees remained totally unaffected by the devastating storm. The deluge, which assailed the earth after being brought from the ocean by the clouds, again ran back to the sea. The discomfort the clouds underwent from swallowing the ocean water and vomiting it back was the only result of this proposed calamity. The storm tried his best to show off his power, but he soon became totally exhausted from pouring rain. Alas, alas, the clouds retreated and fell at the feet of their master. Illusioned by his rage, Indra felt no fatigue as he continued to attack Giriraj. Being blinded by anger, he finally lost all intelligence and went totally blind. The torrential rains and cyclone winds harassed Vrindavan continually for 7 days. Although repeatedly trying to fulfill the order of Indra, whose intelligence was more crooked than millions of lightning bolts, the clouds could not destroy or even slightly disturb the people of Vrindavan. The big clouds and their assistants almost died from their hard labor to please Indra. Although pulled down from his platform of false pride and defeat, the shameful Indra retained his fighting spirit. Those 7 days felt like 7 millenniums of intense pain for Indra, yet the Brijbasis saw it as 7 joy-filled hours. Oh, just see the wonderful splendor of the Lord's divine prowess, which transcends the comprehension of even Brahma and Shiva. Although Govardhan Hill is immovable, it rested on the hand of Krishna. After aborting 7 children represented by the 7 days and nights, the wife of time now gave birth to a beautiful son appearing as the auspicious 8th day. On that day, the Supreme Lord Giridhari said, The fierce winds and rain have now ceased, and the sky is totally freed from the clouds of devastation, and free from the thick covering of mud, the earth is now dry and smooth. And after falling unconscious for 1 week, the sun opened his eyes. O residents of Vrindavan, your village has returned to its normal state. Now it is time to come out from beneath the mountain. After hearing this, everyone assembled in a happy mood and let out the cows. The cows considered themselves fortunate because they got to relish the sweetness of Krishna's face for 7 continuous days. They lost interest in other things that had previously pleased them. When the coward boys called them out, they delayed for a while, and then they shot out like a volley of arrows. But when they saw Krishna still under the hill, because Krishna had to stay under the hill to keep it high so everyone else could leave. But when they saw Krishna still under the hill, they quickly ran back and surrounded him. Immediately, Krishna drove them out again by glancing at them with the compassion of a friend. From all directions, the smooth-skinned, pleasant-looking herds of cows streamed out from the valley under Govardhan Hill. As they came up, they looked like the expanded hoods of Sheshanaga rising out of Patalaloka, or a sheet of moonshine hiding in a cave out of fear of darkness, or like matted locks of diffused light being born from the crystal mountain of Giriraj. Thus induced by Krishna's words, the cowherd men gave up their fear and they smiled cheerfully. With great enthusiasm, they left the temporary village beneath Giriraj. The elated gopis cast veiled glances at Krishna as they walked out from the hill. The effulgent gopis seemed like the rays of brilliant light visible even in the daytime, or the dazzling rays emanating from the valuable jewels beneath the mountain, or the glowing light of the ruby atop the hood of a naga snake. After the coward boys left, Krishna set the hill down exactly in its previous location. He tossed Giriraj off his hand like a child throwing a flower ball. Then Krishna met his friends for more pastimes of wandering in Vrindavan. Overwhelmed with ecstatic love,
the residents of Vrindavan came forward to greet Krishna according to their individual relationships with him. His eyes pouring forth tears of love, Balaram warmly embraced Krishna. Mother Yasoda said, "Alas, alas, my son's body has been severely weakened from bearing such a heavy load." Using her lotus palms, Yasoda massaged Krishna's left arm and kissed his hand affectionately. Rohini, who had attained the summit of parental affection, offered aarti to Krishna and Balaram with an artistically designed jeweled ghee lamp. With their hearts, which were the abodes of deep love for Krishna, the housewives of Vrindavan offered him their full blessings. They then worshipped Krishna with yogurt, rice paddy, and fresh grass, and words, and the potent Brahmins and their attractive wives offered boons and words of praise. Sunanda and the other elderly men, bound by the ropes of intense parental affection, embraced the boys and smelled their heads. The beloved gopis and their associates, dyed in pure love and covered by shyness, also honored Krishna and Balaram. They worshipped them with their doe-eyed glances and their lotus faces blossoming with desire. While they embraced Krishna and Balaram within their minds, their lips shone attractively with sweet smiles. As the spring season is ornamented with the month of Chaitra and Vaishakh, which are full of fragrant flowers, similarly demigods such as the Siddhas, Vidyadharas, and Gandharvas, and the Kimpurushas showered flowers in great delight while singing the glories of Krishna. I'll just read one thing that one of the demigods said. Anyone who once says to Krishna, "I am yours, and from this day forward I completely surrender unto you," is immediately delivered from material existence by your mercy. It is impossible for us to calculate how much you reward one who serves your enchanting lotus feet, which remove the miseries of repeated birth and death. O beloved of Gokul, you are served, worshipped, and glorified by pure devotees, O eternally liberated and full of knowledge. O Lord of the demigods, your transcendental behavior astonishes the entire universe. We repeatedly offer our obeisances unto you. O Krishna, all glory is unto you.
Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki jai.
So nice, yes? Yes?
Yeah.
Giriraj Lila. Very sweet. You have a question?
Yes.
What question do you have?
My question is, we have fallen from top there and now we are loitering around here.
No. Not after hearing that.
Yeah, of course. I'm just saying we're loitering now here.
You're not loitering, you're driving taxi.
I'm the loitering.
Yes, Chris Loy. Tura.
So if we hear this and continue our devotion.
Hearing this is devotional service.
Do we have a chance to go to that under the hill to see Krishna and be here for 7 days, 7 nights?
Do you want to?
Yes.
And then? You just have to want to more.
Have to?
Want to desire more. And that hope keeps us alive. Very good desire. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Bhaktivinoda. Everyone should come and have quick darshan of Giriraj over here.